Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 231, episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist. Yes, it's a production of iHeartRadio, and yes, the substitute is still in session. Full disclosure, this is a... I have hiccups, okay? And we've been dealing with it for about 10 minutes, and I can't get over it, but the show must go on. So I'm just being honest with you, Zeit Gang. Right now, you may hear me sounding like a bad guy from a Disney film where I'm just... but anyway, this is the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. That was another fucking hiccup. It is Wednesday, April 6, 2022, which means it's not National Hiccup Day. It's National Walking Day. It's National Sorry Charlie Day, which I'm not sure what that means. And finally,
like an
it's New Beer's Eve. Don't know what that means either, but I just think it's a clever name. I'm so sorry about these hiccups. And look, I know people are probably listening while they're listening to say, do the thing where you think of a pink elephant and gulp water or invert your body and take a sip. Or super producer Becca was like, bent hinge at the waist, put some water in your mouth, rotate your right arm clockwise. When it gets to 12 o'clock, then take a sip. None of them work. I have a feeling it'll just go away because they are just diaphragm spasms. Anyway, I'm Miles Gray. The hiccupy one, a.k.a. You know that's a bad look for you. You've got ketchup all on your fingers. Miles, you have to keep it limber. Miles, you have to. Miles, you have to. Miles, you have to keep it limber. Okay. Thank
yes.
you. For
audience
Jeff
couldn't see,
Miller.
But a finger came up to the ear so that he could hit that final note for you.
Look, when you're honoring the Cranberries, you got to know because you got to hit that harmony.
You have to, you have to let it linger.
People aren't honor the harmonies. People only know the melodies, but for the people who sing the harmonies, I see you. Anyway, Chef Miller, thank you for that iconic Cranberries, a.k.a. yes. A lot of ketchup on my burgers, you're referencing. Yes, my grandfather's piece of advice for me in his old age, just stretch your body. Just don't not stretch. That's the worst thing you can do. Sage wisdom from our elders. But I'm thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host today, who I don't even need to introduce her because you heard her laugh and you go, oh, there was magic in my ears. And that's right. The trend will continue. Please welcome Joelle Monique.
Hey, I would like to go on record as saying I think your hiccups are adorable. I hope
Thank
they stay as long as they're not becoming uncomfortable for you. because they're a delight to my ears.
The only discomfort is to, at most, maybe the listener and then me being like, come on, motherfucker, get it together. You're doing a podcast and you're hiccuping like some slob. But you know what? I don't want to speak too soon. They may have subsided. Okay, we'll take that. We'll take that.
All right.
What else do we do on this show? We have a guest co-host. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could just, you and me could do the show. We don't even need a guest today because I feel like things are going so well.
We have such a great guest.
I know, but things are going so well right now. My hiccups just subsided. I feel like if I introduce this agent of chaos into the mix, that my hiccups will become resurgent. And then we're going to talk about nonsense for 40 minutes straight. You know what? Fuck it. I want to do that. Hey, let's welcome our guest today. The fucking, just the master of chaos himself. I mean, I could introduce him like, you know, he's like a really talented stand-up comedian. You might know his other podcast, Blake's Takes, for God's sakes. Or maybe just like his various works of comedy. And, you know, he's touring all the time. But I know him as the Lord of Chaos. Please welcome Mr. Blake Wexler!
Hey, everybody, this is Blake Wexler, a.k.a. I smell Wex and chaos hair. Joel's lounging in Jack's chair. Why's Blake casting mischievous stares in Zeit's direction? Ooh. Miles, this surely is a dream. Yeah. Sorry, I hate to
dig it.
Off the top of the dome, Blake.
Isn't that what
amazing.
He says after? Doesn't he throw in a random dig it? Dig it.
Oh, there's a dig it in there. I didn't want to take that many liberties. And for me, I don't have the confidence for a dig it. But yeah, Marcy took a dig it for sure.
What was Marcy Playground's story? Do we
That's
know?
That's a great question.
Like, was that like a playground they played at? I know, like, I remember growing up, the rumor at Linkin Park was called Linkin Park because they wanted to be near Limp Bizkit when you were like at Tower Records. Rifling through CDs.
Who wouldn't be? Who
but I don't even know if that's true. This was in the era of all of the bad rumors that were word of mouth.
I think Marcy Playground wanted to be near Macy Gray, I think is why they did it. So,
do you guys want
sure
the Wikipedia
why.
Answer? Do you want to keep just throwing out guesses? Okay. The band is named after the Marcy Open Grade School in Minneapolis, which is the alternative school John Wozniak attended.
Oh, okay. So it's relevant.
Yeah,
got
he said
it.
I hear you.
He chose the name because many of his songs were inspired by his childhood.
Oh,
so there
well,
you go.
I like it. There's some depth there that I didn't see coming. I like
that. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Blake, what's new? How you been since the last time? Since last we spoke?
Since last? Things have been so good. And now, since watching your hiccups, I honestly have... It's weird because Joelle was very sweet and said what I do feel in my heart, but I also do see it as a disadvantage for you and a way for me to assert dominance in a conversation. So
everything I say, you're like, whoa, really? That sounded smart, folks. You guys leave this guy? He's the host?
You know, like how a good guest tries to do. Assert dominance.
Just every time. It's like, I'm sorry. I wish I could take... the point you're trying to make about Ketanji Brown Jackson, you know, like have it connect, but it just sounds so jokey with your cartoon hiccups.
Yeah. Also, I wasn't listening.
We're good. So we're good. No, I think we've made it. I think we've crossed the Rubicon into non-diaphragmal spasmsville. Okay.
Both terms are like kind of jarring, where hiccup is a very jarring term to hear, like audibly. And then diaphragm spasms also gives you like kind of makes you recoil when you hear it, you know, they're both like a little over the top.
Yeah. Diaphragm spasm does feel like some kind of like you're on your way to death. Like if you're like, and then they had the diaphragm spasms. And you're
It was really bad.
Mm-hmm. It's that bad.
That's like right before the death rattle is right.
Exactly. Yeah. First, you cough really quietly into a white handkerchief and there's a little blood. And then the next step is he's got the diaphragm spasms.
Yeah. You know? Where's your handkerchief that you usually carry around with you?
My little blood handkerchief.
Your blood chief.
There was a tweet, I forget, like maybe a year ago that someone wrote that was just so funny about how gentle people are with that cough into the white handkerchief in the film. It's always like just so light. And then it's like... No.
Oh, yeah. That slow reveal of like, oh, it's tuberculosis.
You got the Burks. You got the Burks, right? You got the Burks, fam.
Joel, you're right. The slow reveal makes it. Because if it was the other, like...
a horror movie. Now you're horrified.
Right.
But this way, you're like...
Oh, right.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's just a cough. And now now they're going to die. Oh, tragedy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're just like, or they're going up his flight of stairs. Are you okay, Papa? Mm. I'm fine. You go ahead. You go ahead. Yeah. They wipe their mouth. Insert shot. Bloody handkerchief. Papa's in trouble. Anyway, let's tell the people.
No, I have
what
more
gonna...
to say on this. I okay, think that like, also with the handkerchief thing, it is funny that they do tuck it away, you know, where they don't tell anyone. They're like, oh, no, I'm fine. No one's ever right. like, I'm bleeding out of my mouth. I'm bleeding. Like, right. Nobody ever draws attention to
right.
it.
Right. No one's like, oh, my God, is this bad?
Ew, look. Ew.
Mom.
Am I contagious? Should I not be around the children? It really right. should be their first thought. Selfish assholes.
Good point.
Like,
even
I'll
better
just soldier
point.
On like, valiantly. Exactly. Make everyone else in my house sick.
Right. It's like, well, I don't want to look vulnerable because then I'll be a nuisance. So I'll just endanger everyone else. That's really wonderful. No, I do want to keep talking about that because you wouldn't yeah. just have a bloody cough out loud, scaring everybody, coughing all over like the white tablecloths. People mm-hmm. would be nervous. Because I guess, is that like the earliest version of hiding your zombie bite?
Probably, yeah.
Ooh. Right. I mean, if you think about it, like the whole vampirism, like the mm-hmm. entire genre comes from the Victorian era where we're dealing with a lot of new diseases and a lot of death happening.
Right.
And so, yeah, it makes sense to me that like out of the horror genre, what comes after vampires is typically zombies. And yeah, you know, they were trying to hide their sickness. We still had to go to work. There was no social help at that time.
No.
Mutual aid to come in and uplift your family. Oh, you got sick? Sorry, your family's on the street. You got to just deal with that.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, you're sick? Oh, you're sick. You're sick. You're sick.
He's weak and God has not chosen him.
Yeah.
That's anyway.
The devil got in him, so sorry.
Y'all, I'll just say this. It's all about preventative care. If you're coughing blood, speak to a doctor. And that's not medical advice. That's just me watching a lot of movies and being like, man, if they spoke to the doctor, this movie would be less interesting. But anyway, let's talk about what we
it
are
It is always
going to talk
a
about.
Red handkerchief, too, you know, or it's never
it's
a red
white,
handkerchief.
It's usually white.
It would be funny if it was red and it's like, guys, is there blood on this? I can't tell. Is it blood or is it saliva?
I don't know. Here, rub it on something white and see if the red comes off.
Can I see your white one? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Rub them together. Oh, yeah. And then that's an added 10-minute scene of everybody arguing the best way to determine whether or not their red handkerchief does, in fact, have blood on it. Okay, we can keep doing this for a long time. But let's tell people what we're going to talk about. First off, Fox viewers' attitudes can shift if they watch enough CNN. New research says maybe. Pretty good, right? Pretty good. See, I'm auditioning to be on the news. Also, the all QAnon everything train continues now that, you know, a few senators on the GOP side said, yeah, we're not totally racist. We think Ketanji Brown Jackson should be in the Supreme Court. And that got some interesting responses from their fellow Republicans. Well, also I just have to talk about like what flexing even is anymore in the age of Logan Paul, who's a troll flexer, because we'll talk about how he pulled up with a $5 million Pokemon card around his neck. Anyway, we'll get to all of that. But first, Blake, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
What if the handkerchief was like, you know, the magic trick where they keep drawing all the handkerchiefs out of their sleeve? It's like endless handkerchiefs and they have to cough in each individual one until they're out of blood. You know what I'm saying? But
OK,
that's what I just Google searched. No, my Google, it was a very long one and I it yielded
Googled,
no
what
result.
If you had one of those really long handkerchiefs?
What if, you know how all the... all the revelatory Google searches start with what if. that's how they start. No, my Google search was Jim Nance Tye, T-I-E. And that is because, so Jim Nance is a well-known sports broadcaster. And he does NCAA games and also does the Masters, which is coming up. And he did this weird thing for years. And I was trying to figure out if he still did it where he would take his tie off after the college basketball final and give it to his favorite child who was, I mean, they're college kids, but would give it to his favorite college kid in the tournament. And no one knew why he was doing it. It was so fucking weird where this is the biggest moment in this kid's life, just won the championship, holding their mother, their dad, their families there. And then this weird man with thinning
hey,
hair.
Hey, fella.
Like, it's coming with a garment. Like, and they're like, I don't know what this is. Like, no one ever knew what
it's
the hell it was.
It's a used tie. You're welcome.
Yes, right here. It's my used tie. They're like, we don't know who you are.
Me, Jim Nance.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Are you the chancellor of the school or something? No. I work for CBS Sports.
Oh, I talk while you play.
I made you famous. Your talent was good, but the way I announced it really delivered it home to the people.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah. Okay, so thank you.
You playing for free allows me to make all this money so I can buy nice ties and give them to a kid.
The least I can do.
Yeah. Why aren't we following this? I think it's pretty clear what's happening
it's called effective
normal
altruism.
So weird. But he doesn't do it anymore, I don't think. Thank God, because...
has it been right? Because I feel like that was, were people just like, yo, dude, like, did he ever explain why he stopped? Was it because people were like, what are you doing?
I'm sure he does have some, I like, not enough of like lack of self-awareness to continue to do this. Because I think it became, people were like, yo, all right, what are you doing? Like, and it's not, what you're doing isn't technically illegal or wrong or against the rules, but it is, we don't like it. Like, no one likes what you're doing. It's strange. Yeah. So I think he just stopped doing it.
It makes you like this weird, it's as if you're trying to say you're also some kind of adjudicator of what happened in the tournament.
Yes.
And you created your own jank-ass MVP award where you're like, and the tie of Jim Nance goes to this young man. All right, folks. Is this on TV? No? Okay. Well, I just want you to know that. It's for me.
So strange.
I wonder who have the past tie recipients been?
I think it was maybe Ryan Arcidiaco. I only remember because I think Villanova was one of the last ones.
I think that was the last one who got it in 2016.
17. It's just, it's so weird. It's one of those things that doesn't sound that weird. But then it's a thing that does happen in real life. And you're like, oh, that would be very strange if a man approached me with
and began undressing. He's like, hey, I want to talk to you. And you're taking your tie off. I'm like, yo, what?
Run.
What? Why is nobody
stopping
him?
For what reason? Like, are you trying to box me like an old action film? That's why you're loosening your tie? Okay, well, good to know. And Zeitgang, do we know why? And can we find any correlations between tie recipients and then what happens in their careers? Is it a curse?
That's
good. Is it like the new Madden curse? I need to know. Blake, what's something you think is overrated?
Overrated hot coffee. I'm gonna go with
okay.
Hot coffee. I'm a
explain.
Joelle, I don't know if I'm gonna win you over here, but it's
okay. Let's see.
Okay,
she's accessing her hard drive space with that eye roll.
I am backpedaling physically as I'm speaking out of the room. out of intimidation. I just think if you get a good coffee, it's better cold as a cold brew because you can actually taste not the way I just said. Actually, I don't like that's in my personality because you can actually taste the nuance of the coffee.
What was I doing before? You weren't actually tasting it.
You think you were, but you weren't. Like, you weren't.
Right. You think you know, but you have no idea.
I think for a high quality coffee, you can taste a little bit better. And I run hot. And I think, depending on if there's like a staircase I have to climb up or if the weather is just a few degrees too warm, I'm sweating while drinking coffee.
Oh, yeah. You know? I cannot drink hot coffee when the sun is out. Like, I'll take my dog on a walk, I'll go to this coffee shop, I'll get like hot coffee if it's like in the morning and it's cold. The second that shit goes above like 60 fucking five. Which is very hot to me as an Angelino.
Yeah.
In the morning, I'm like, nope, I need something on ice now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you on that.
I can no longer drink straight coffee, which I think I talked about with Jack, but not you guys. So, listen, it's I love coffee. As a kid, you know, once I got into middle school, my friend and her mom and I could do like 3 pots of coffee in an afternoon.
Whoa.
It was a problem. What? We drank way too much coffee.
Wait, y'all were talking, the way you mentioned that, you act like you had some like operation going. We're like, yeah, we'd work.
Oh yeah, listen. So here's what happens. Her mom puts it on in the morning. And like if I spend the night there, we'd be up by like 10 in the morning. So then we come down after her and we get our coffee. And her mom's one of those like 40-ounce cup drinkers, you know? So she was going. She either had a Diet Coke in that thing or coffee.
The goblet. I don't know if it ever got washed.
You know what I mean? It was like coffee, Diet Coke, player all the time. And then, you know, so we would come down and we would finish off the pot between the two of us. And then we'd make another one. She's the one who taught me how to make coffee. And then, you know, in the afternoon, her mom comes back to refill it. And then there's like a little leftover. Then listen, we were constantly just making coffee for each other. It
was
definitely like continual and nourishing. And I'm from the Midwest. So, you know, it's cold as H in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so it was really nice to have a warm cup of coffee.
Right.
Now that I'm a Los Angelino, I always have one of these.
Oh, nice.
Audience, this is an audio program. I don't know if you know, but it's a
iced
chai. I used to put espresso in it because, amazing flavors. Mm-hmm. I can't do that no more. I have the anxiety. I am on antidepressants and ADD meds, and the coffee was sending me off into, like, very loopy head spaces.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. But I agree that based on our location, it's kind of ideal just to always have and iced coffee. You can't, the sweats are not fun. It's something you always regret. You're like, oh man, maybe I'll have like a nice hot cup of coffee this morning. And then inevitably by like noon, you're like, I want to die. I don't know why I did this to myself.
I'll even if I'm hot and it's cold outside, I can't drink coffee. Like if I'm wearing a jacket and I'm sufficiently warm, hot coffee will push me over the edge. I was in New York during like around Thanksgiving time. So it was pretty cold. And I was like getting hot in my jacket. I got a cold brew and like everybody I was with was like, what are you doing? People like are wearing gloves and stuff. I'm like, it's a very delicate like temperature balance within my body. And I think I'm just like you, like one fucking degree in either direction. And like, I'm gone.
That's what having those seasons does to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And you got to change it every 4 months.
What about other heated drinks? Like if there's like a hot apple cider or a hot cocoa in the morning, is that good or are we still dealing with the same temperature issues? Oh.
So that's a very, very good question. I think where it gets complicated is coffee is kind of business-like to me in a way that it's not just to enjoy the taste. It's when I'm, for instance, for this podcast, I'm like, oh, I want to be a little more alert. I'm going to drink some coffee. Like there's some sort of like utility to it where a cider, I think is purely, or like a hot cocoa or whatever, is a purely like enjoyable thing. So I'm like, oh, I can sip that a little bit. And then if I'm not feeling it, I can just throw it away, you know, where if I throw a coffee away, I'm like, oh, now I don't have that energy. So,
I totally understand. Listen, you know? Here's what you do. You get a hot apple cider and like a cinnamon swizzle stick, but then also put like, you know, some star anise and get into your spices bag. And a cider is going to really take you over the edge because not only is it delicious, but now there's like a sharpness to it. You know, it's much less of the kick in the ass that coffee is, but it's still uplifting you. It's still like making the brain get going. It's nice.
I like that.
Star anise? What the fuck?
That was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Are you got some? What the fuck?
You just grind a little
That's what you're up to?
Little cinnamon swizzle stick. Yeah.
Man, I gotta go have coffee at y'all place.
Having fancy white friends really it just changed everything.
The things it does for your coffee. I mean, facts. You know, where would I be without the white people who's like, you don't drink coffee like this? And I was like,
right?
You
didn't get the
drip?
Are you still brewing it in your Mr. Coffee? I am.
The white homie Alex, who got me on cold brew because
hey, Casey.
Whenever I was like, yeah, coffee doesn't hit, he's like, you need to try cold brew, man. And I was like, thanks for putting me onto the game. Appreciate you, man.
We had an issue at one point where I'll like not make this gross, but like my fiance and I were, when we first started living together, had like bad stomach issues first thing in the morning. And every morning, like, would have to, like, go, like, rushing into the bathroom for, like, months. For not just months, maybe 6 or 7 months. And then we realized it was because we were drinking, like, the Trader Joe's cold brew concentrate without cutting it with water.
Oh, no!
Or
that's how I drink
milk.
Like, no!
I know. And obvious. It's like, oh, you're a grown man. You should know that that's going to have a negative effect on your body. And we were both laughing as reasonably intelligent people, depending on who you ask. We're just poisoning ourselves every morning with this coffee laxative.
Hey, but yeah, nothing like a cold brew Jiffy Loop, you know, just to flush the system really quick.
That's true. Maybe that's, yeah.
That's, but you know what's funny? That's how I drink cold brew to get the effects of caffeine is just I have to drink it uncut. And then I'm like, oh, I'm on the verge of a panic attack. Perfect.
You gotta get right there. Superhero level. Mm-hmm. I cannot.
You know, and I always talk about this Vietnamese coffee. What the fuck? Man, that's guaranteed existential dread in a cup for me. But look, I love what you guys are doing with coffee. Blake, what's something you think is underrated?
I love what you guys are doing with coffee.
Love it. Love to see it, folks. Love the panic attack in a cup. It's just so caffeinated. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm the same way, Joel. If I get to a certain point, I'm just become like a fission reactor of anxiety.
No, it's horrible.
Unlimited powers.
Yeah.
If used the incorrect way. So yeah, that's why I'm like, sometimes you gotta be careful. Anyway, overrated. What's something that's overrated? Oh, I'm sorry. Underrated, Blake. What's something that's underrated?
Miles, first of all, it's okay. And then second of all, I think underrated is kind of going with what we've been talking about a little bit. A mid-sleep wardrobe change where I've been...
Wait, what?
Yes.
Mid-sleep? Okay, go on.
So I will sometimes rev hot and will be sweating a little bit. Or am just uncomfortable at the very least. And I used to be like, God, I'm so tired. I don't feel like getting up. I'm just going to stay in these clothes or whatever. And like, you know, there weren't enough variations of my blanket situation for me to correct the issue. But then now I've been like, you know what? I'm hot. I'm going to change out of like, you know, like flannel pants, like, you know, long sleeve shirt into like a shorts and t-shirt situation, you know, and that's the wardrobe change. Or vice versa, might be a little cold. Put on another layer, grab another blanket, do something like that. And you don't regret it.
Why not preempt the change so you don't have to disrupt your sleep with discomfort? That's my first reaction to what I'm hearing right now. Because I run hot. I don't wear clothes barely when I go to sleep. I mean, I don't sleep naked, but like I grew up taking my clothes off as a child, not knowing how to regulate my temperature. And I was foolish. And then I had to realize you run hot. Either have thinner blankets or, you know, you don't need to wear full-blown arms and legs covered pajamas.
No, I have heard that you exclusively just wear a Lakers hat when you sleep.
Exactly. Just a ball. A Lakers with the sticker still on.
Yes.
That's my sleeping cap. That's how you know.
Keep it classy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you wear? 7 3/4? What's your head?
Come on, man. My head's not that big. 7 3/8.
You know? 7 3/8. That's what I wear. Yeah. Joelle, what size is your head? We're just going around.
We're just going around fitted.
Now, I'm a lass, and I don't wear that many hats.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
I have no idea what, and I know that I do have a large noggin though, because when I try on hats, it is a challenge. I'm like, point me to your bigger hats because the stuff you have out here on the average side is not working.
I have the biggest back of my skull, like. From the front, you think, oh, it's all good. Then I turn profile, and they're like, it's a Cadillac.
Damn.
This man has depth.
In the back. He got the diamond in the back.
I have a lot of forehead, and I think maybe that's also the same in the back. I don't know.
Forehead.
Yeah, before this turns into a problematic discussion about brains and skull shapes and sizes.
no thanks.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
And we're back. Let's talk about this little thing called Fox News. I think we've all, I think it's safe to say without saying, but I will just for the purposes of clear communication, that we're all pretty clear on how partisan the news has become over the last few decades. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen the effects that it has not only on like just the voting population and, you know, what sort of the political views people have, but also like because of that has caused a lot of chaos even within families where people are like, yep, you know, people regularly say like lost my uncle to Fox News or like my Fox News family or, you know, my family's a Fox News family. We've all heard this. And, you know, a lot of people, again, because of this, we've seen how sort of this sort of Fox News radicalization process can take hold over time. And not to say that watching enough MSNBC doesn't do something to you, too, because it does. You see that when people aren't bothered by real things that are happening in real time in front of their faces. But these two researchers just published a study on what they call partisan coverage filtering, which is basically that if you're like a particularly partisan news outlet, you're going to basically selectively report on things, because if it's fucking up the narrative that you need to keep your listener viewers or whatever in check to be go along with, oh, this is what the GOP is, then, yeah, you're not going to report on the bad shit because that's going to completely threaten this sort of worldview that you're trying to create. And, you know, again, this is all this does is create a person who's now operating in a reality who has a biased set of facts that they're operating from and how they look at the world. So for Fox viewers, we'd say that that bias set of facts would be something like that COVID isn't that serious, that masks don't work, that Trump was one of the most effective presidents, Democrats let like looters run their cities, and white people are the most vulnerable group on the planet Earth. Those are, that's sort of like the general sort of nonstop flow of bias information that you get out of there. So these researchers wonder, well, what happens if you just switch someone's media diet in the other direction? Does this have any effects? And the simple answer is yes. So this is how they sort of did this study. Of the 763 qualifying participants, they randomized 40% of the treatment group. So the other 60% weren't like 100% red till I bleed, my eyes are red, my hair is red, I'm so red, I'm GOP, Jackie, whatever. These people are full-blown Fox brain people. So then what they did was, to change their slant of their media diet, quote, we offered treatment group participants $15 an hour to watch 7 hours of CNN per week during September 2020. So this is in the lead up to the fucking election, okay? And they then they were prioritizing the hours at which, like, if the participants, that they basically said, if you're normally watching Fox News at that time, we'll give you $15 to watch CNN instead. And then at the end of it, we're going to kind of survey you, ask you questions about what you're seeing and what the information is that you're sort of taking in. And what they did is, quote, at the 3-day mark, the viewers took a survey and they found, quote, large effects of watching CNN instead of Fox News on participants' factual perceptions of current events, like their beliefs and knowledge about the 2020 presidential candidates. They discovered changes in attitudes about Donald Trump and Republicans, as well as a large effect on their opinions about COVID. They even then went on to articulate observations that were essentially like, oh, so Fox just won't cover anything about Trump if it's bad. And they're saying like, oh, this is something new. Now, this is, I don't know what to make of this. I know jokingly people are like, oh, well, there's the Democrats' midterms fucking strategy is just pay people to not watch Fox. And sure, maybe that could be a weird, subtle unemployment plan for Fox viewers to be like, hey, we'll give you some money if you just watch CNN a couple hours, just a little bit, just to see where that goes. But I don't know. Does this resonate with either of you or in general?
Yeah. I think I'm trying to recall. Oh, this is sad. What's the school shooting after Sandy Hook? The one in Florida?
Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
Yes. A kid from there was talking about like how he had to move out of his father's house because his father started to believe that the school shooting that he survived was fake.
Right.
Which is like, I mean, I think really goes to show the power of television and really these news networks and their ability to corrupt and persuade people to believe that whatever they're saying is the truth. And I mean, we talked a little bit yesterday about the ways communities sort of insulate people and makes it comfortable to stay there. And I just wonder if there's a way, like, it just seems to me that the only way to stop Fox News from continuing to just out and out lie to folks is for the government to come in and be like, we do have to pull your funding because just from a factual rate, like, you guys are no longer a news program, you're entertainment. And it's something that was talked about a long time ago. It's like maybe 7 or 8 years ago, like, you know, a lot of news sources are, you know, get funding or tax breaks or whatever, because, you know, it's an essential part of our democracy is that people have access to the press. And then, you know, but then that's obviously a slippery slope of like, is, you know, we can barely agree on facts anymore anyway.
Right.
But yeah, I guess if you can, you know, I've heard of people being clever enough to like block Fox TV on their parents' television, on their grandparents' television, on that weird uncle's television. You know, I would like to see more of that. Get proactive with your families. Starts with you, as I like to say. So yeah, if you can go in there and block that channel and be like, well, you know, CNN's right there. Maybe they've got some information you can use today.
Oh boy, they're like, no, I can't. It's all crap. And they're going to just talk nonsense about my president.
And then they'll go to YouTube and fall down an entirely different, terrifying hole. Oh, God.
Yeah. You inadvertently, you're like, well, I turned that spigot off and they went to go drink from the toxic cesspit.
Oh, how many things can we block in this house? Do we just unplug everything so they can't watch it?
I'm putting child parental locks on all of it.
I mean, that's what other people do is like they'll put they'll restrict websites for their parents or put the parental locks on the things and then just like play dumb when it comes to me like Fox won't come on the TV anymore. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
That's weird. You got to call your cable provider about that.
You might have it. Yeah, in which case they'll probably be like, are your kids trying to fucking keep you from hearing the good word? But I mean, yeah, like to your point about the power of television, it really is like so many people are entranced by this, you know, the spectacle of the television, you know, and that everything that emanates from it is somehow the truth. And people like, it's the same thing with the internet. There are a lot of people who are like, well, if it's on the internet, like it's, and people are saying it so forcefully, like there must be some like shred of truth to it. In the same way, they're like, well, if this person's on TV, like they don't just let anybody on TV, that it has, there must be a shred of truth to that. But yeah, it is really frightening, like you're saying, that example of like you're even looking at something that your child lived through, but because of the, like, you're just being constantly bombarded with this kind of messaging, you're like, I don't know, maybe my kid's trauma is a lie.
He's an actor that they paid to treat. Like, the level of mental gymnastics you have to do to stop believing that your own child survived a shooting in your own neighborhood. Like, you, I mean, unfortunately now we've all lived through a tragedy where you're hearing sirens from everywhere, where you're getting calls, where you're on social media. Like, we know what happens when tragedy strikes. It's very, like, clear cues. So it's very, you know, challenging for me to believe that this guy didn't actually live through the event and then get so brainwashed. He was like, what I experienced didn't actually happen.
Right.
That is bizarre. That is, I don't think there's a word, but it's broaching crazy.
Well, like, who knows how many layers are there too? I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, this is, I'll give this person the goodwill of thinking they maybe thought they were a good parent, and maybe there's some level of guilt that their kid was exposed to that they're in denial of. That turns out, I'm not excusing it, but I'm trying to figure out how you go from like, whoa, my kid's all shook up, to nah.
It's so scary. I think that like so much of empathy is humanizing the people that you might have a differing view of. And, you know, when these people turn on CNN, it's like, oh, these aren't lizards. You know what I mean? Like, these are actually human beings with like heartbeats who, like, you actually can add a human face to the other side of like what they're used to hearing. And it's like, oh no, these are people like me. Not exactly like them, but like, it's enough to be like, oh, it's not batshit crazy that, like, you know, the fact that there's a virus.
They don't have lizard skins.
you know, so.
When I think that was the thing they saw in the research, was just hearing over and over like a measured thing from people who were like doctors be like, yeah, it's really important to keep yourself safe, rather than the other side of being like, but Fauci's lost it. I mean, he's the new Dr. Mengele. You're like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
That probably will put you in a different posture when you're trying to understand or process information. So I don't know. If only it were that simple, just to be like, just watch CNN and then you'll be indifferent about racism.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can get it any way you live, basically, when you're watching that good old TV. And just to touch back in with the GOP. So Ketanji Brown Jackson, pretty much all but formally confirmed at this point to become the Supreme Court's first Black woman to serve as a Supreme Court justice. Unlike that Politico gaffe from a few days ago where they said the first Black justice ever. But
wow.
Yeah. Everyone was like, a lot of people were even like, damn, guys. Like, even I mean, we know Clarence Thomas is a bit of a fool here, but we're even going to skip Thurgood Marshall. So that's what happened there. But anyway, so on Monday, or yes, it's Monday, I believe, at the end of Monday and going into Tuesday, we get some news going on that we have some GOP senators who are interested in backing her confirmation. Senators Murkowski, Collins, and Mitt Romney. And, you know, we talked about how this was, Ketanji is clearly one of the most qualified nominees like I have ever seen in my short life of
she'd
being able
to be
aware of a Supreme Court justice. But, you know, it wasn't a surprise that we saw her support just be like at a majority before the hearings. And then despite the efforts of the GOP to smear her and align her with pedophilia and like child predators and things like that, a lot of the people who saw those confirmation hearings, like it only increased their support for her, which is wild to think. Like, it didn't go the other way where suddenly you gave the conservatives their sort of like their orders on how to view this confirmation. And they go, yeah, she's soft on this, or blah, blah, blah. Like, people saw that and they're like, oh, that was fucking, like, she handled that well. They look really out of sorts insisting this gross shit. So her approvals went up. And again, a lot of this stuff is all QAnon sort of based, save the children are being trafficked by liberals narrative sort of thing that's going on. So we have like fucking clockwork, Marjorie Taylor Greene just out here tweeting that because of those three senators who were supporting her, she said they were now, quote, pro-pedophile for doing this. That's where they're at.
Just for supporting Ketanji Brown?
Yeah. They said, you think she's going to be a good judge? That means you're pro-pedophile. That's where they're going with it. They're slamming the gas on the nonsense.
But Ketanji hasn't been accused of anything. What's the correlation?
Because the whole thing is about how she was adjudicating a case dealing with child pornography, and that she said there was nuance, that there was like they were these very different cases where she's like, well, this person was 18 and like is this kind of material. This person was older and like was dealing with like was preying on their own family. And she was just explaining like why she was, you know,
right.
Had
I
different idea
moment.
On the sentencing. But they took that to be as, oh, she's soft on all pedophiles. When even this is a thing, Lindsey Graham himself was saying, like, we need to sort of like look at certain laws around in this part of the law, because there are things that do need to be changed, that there isn't just like sort of a one size fits all kind of measurement. So they took that and just ran with it. And that's all they did. She kept insisting that she was okay with it, that she may, in fact, you know, be completely indifferent to people being people preying on children. And it was gross. And, you know, to just go in this direction, be like, you're pro pedophile. It's just, again, more of this hypocrisy on display. I mean, as we've talked about, whenever people talk about child predators and things like that or trafficking, people, the GOP always forgets Matt fucking Gaetz.
Never mention his name.
Actually in office.
Oh, my God.
And under investigation for fucking sex trafficking.
Multiple times.
Potentially with like a minor. So but yet again, you want to go, you know, take the stage with him at multiple ignoramus rallies that y'all hit up and, you know, keep it moving in that sense. That's why it's so clear, you know, with their hypocrisy around protect the kids, because if it really was about that, you would keep that same energy up for every single thing that was actually about that.
If y'all really cared about kids, you would listen to child psychiatrists and let like trans kids transition in a way that makes goddamn sense. Like if you really cared about kids, you would not be so worried about like making sure that the F or M on their birth certificate matched the genitals in their pants. Like y'all are the wildest about like monitoring and you know, you would make sure that there would be enough funds to give poor kids so that they could, I don't know, eat. And you wouldn't try to monitor what it was they were eating.
That people were getting that they cut off.
Right, which y'all just so eagerly took away. If you worried about kids, you would eliminate school debt. Like, there's just about 60 bajillion things you could do to make sure you would give schools more money. So, because we have a teacher shortage and teachers are fleeing from the profession and they're not getting the education they need. There's so many things you could do to support and uplift children that wasn't just randomly pointing to people that you don't like and calling them pedophiles. It's just such like a, and I think it really hurts like, you know, the hunt for actual pedophiles, because you're constantly just being like, oh, what about this person?
You're conflating.
Stop it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like this judge with a nuanced view of the law as being a pedophile. And now they're like, oh, but these, and this is the thing, like we're saying, if they actually cared, then you would see them move in that direction. But because they don't, all we can do is look at the things they are invested in, which to me looks like just slowing progress at any moment, preventing people of color from ascending to, or experiencing any kind of equality. Those are the things I actually see them have consistent energy for. So that's why I'm like, okay, let's just put this fake argument to the side, because that's clear that they don't give a fuck about that because their actions don't show that. And then I'm going to say, what does this align with? Oh, right. They're bigotry, because that's what we saw.
It's the same kind of like hyperbolic, like honestly, like a what a 12 or 11 year old would say, in that, like, you know, it's the same thing when, oh, they're Hitler. This is Nazism. You know, like when, you know, like for vax mandates or wearing a mask or whatever, it's you go to what's the worst thing imaginable? Hitler? Great, that's Hitler. What's the worst thing?
Right.
Pedophile. Okay, we're going to use the word pedophile because that's the worst thing. And God forbid anyone reads. And literally, it's not even hidden in a paragraph. That's not pro-pedophile at all. And you brought up a really cool thing, I think, too, that a lot of people that might get lost in during the nomination process is that, like, Judge Jackson's experience is so impressive that we kind of have forgotten about that in the incredible fact that, you know, she will be the first Black female Supreme Court justice. If you even got rid of that and just looked at her fucking resume blank, it's like, oh, this is one of the most qualified people we could possibly have on the Supreme Court.
You'd be like, oh, is this the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court?
Yeah, this person's already been Chief Justice. Is this John Jay? Like, who is this? You know what I mean? And it's just so, so qualified. Because that's the thing, too. Obviously, so much fucking race goes into this as well, is the fact that, like, they just looked at this resume.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we're fucked on them. We can't actually do anything on the merits because we're cooked. This person is fucking infallible. Like. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so disheartening, too, especially, I think, for a lot of Black people who watch that confirmation hearing go down and only have the one Black person on the Judiciary Committee actually stand up for her. I was like, see, this is what too much MSNBC will do to people's brains.
That shit was wild. Mm-hmm. And can I just say, people were like all over Cory Booker being corny. I was like, yes, Cory Booker is corny. OK, he's a corny human being. Everyone knows it. But you know what? Who do you run to when you're sad? Your corniest friend. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's pumping you up, making sure you don't feel too sad, making sure you got what you need? You good, boo? Like, it's your corny friend. I speak as a corny person, okay? You need corny people in your life. Stop dunking on Cory Booker for supporting a Black woman. And literally in her time of need, she's being bombarded by some of the stupidest things to ever be put into power. Mm-hmm. And she has to answer the dumbest questions, like the restraint on her face to just be like, I'm not going to curse these assholes out. I'm going to try not to make them sound as stupid as they're being. And I think a lot of their base recognized it. Somebody posted a video from like an Iowa like meeting the other day. I don't know if it was like a town meeting or like a something, but it was citizens and politicians. And somebody was just like reaming this guy for being like, you had an opportunity to ask Judge Brown like actual questions, and y'all wasted it. You wasted it. All of these moments, these buzz moments you were trying to get for television, you just completely dropped that. You pulled up children's book in a congressional hearing. Are you out of your damn mind?
It's a children's book
she did not write, that she has not endorsed or promoted, but are simply available at a school where she sits on the board. You are out of your fucking mind.
Here's the thing. I used to think for myself, but here's it. I get a lot of these talking points from like the Federalist Society or the Judicial Crisis Network, who package these talking points together for me to then regurgitate on TV to give some. Yeah, it's that's a problem when you're not your own person in Congress. But yeah, I honestly, like, I thought that was to see the Democrats not really protect her was all I needed to see to continue to see when I'm looking at them sideways when they say we're really about fixing inequality and things like that. I'm like, well, none of y'all really took the time to take your colleagues to task for the transparent bigotry that was on display when they're coming at your Supreme Court pick. Like, would you do that if you had a friend of color and some people were going off on them? Would you just be one of these people who just like, I don't know, I don't want to get involved with that.
For a society that chirps a lot about, you know, protect Black women, we've been seeing a lot of people not being down for that cause lately.
No, that's all I'm saying.
A lot of people just standing on the sidelines watching Black women get pummeled and being like, oh, but she could take it. She's strong.
Yeah,
she knows what she's doing.
I mean, look how she handled it. I mean, that, oh, wow, look how she handled the beating. It's like you should have prevented the beating.
She shouldn't have had to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing that I think is so, so frustrating, especially for any marginalized or oppressed people, is like the resilience is always commended rather than putting the energy into making life easier so you don't have to commend their fucking resilience for being able to withstand that. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to just talk about fucking Pokemon.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back. Just want to touch on this really quickly. Over the weekend, Logan Paul wore a $5 million Pokemon, or Pokemon, as we say in Japan, card on his neck into the ring at WrestleMania. I was like, okay, fine. Apparently, this is the most expensive card in existence. That's around $5 million. He spent around $6 million for it. It's a Pikachu Illustrator card. And if they only made a few dozen, where I guess the original creator of Atsuko Nishida is like the person who created Pikachu, you know, made this card. They were given away to people and they're super fucking rare. I'm just like, this is where we're at. Because again, he's such a troll. He's just being like, here's $5 million on my neck. That's what I'm doing, because this is some troll shit. But I'm just like, are we just 18 months away from now, just these weird naked flex moments where it's like, and this is my 401k. This is my mortgage. Okay. I have my mortgage tatted on my fucking back. Like, I don't know what, why is this? I don't know. This really upset me more in the sense that I'm like, it, because I think flexing is already so dead. Like, it's such an empty pursuit to like say, I'm, this is me because I have this shit. But right. To this degree, I'm like, it's becoming an even more like weird parody of itself. But that's also me being an old person being like, this damn troll out here, 5 mil on his neck.
I don't think it's you being an old person, because like, it's silliness and it doesn't even look good. Like, as far as like a, ooh, this is a fashion moment. Even like if you think about, you know, I don't know, who wore the swan dress?
Bjork?
To Bjork, yeah.
Exclusively,
okay.
Any swan dress, it was Bjork.
There's one swan dress, you know, you can instantly see Bjork. It. Mm-hmm. The dress is wild, but at the very least, it's like, oh, this is artistic and interesting, right? Even if you're like, I don't like it, you're still like, wow, somebody put a lot of thought into designing this dress.
Right.
It's like well made, all of that.
Even Gaga's meat suit.
Again, totally. Gross as hell, but saying something.
And I was,
you know,
like, whatever.
It was Wagyu.
Yeah.
Butchered that. You said Wagyu. It's Wagyu. Come on, man. Blake, don't embarrass yourself.
Hmm? Yeah, no, it's a regional
dialect. Yeah. I picked it up. I knew where you were going.
You heard me.
Yeah. Okay, respect.
But I think if we zoom out a little bit, right, I sometimes feel the same way when someone's wearing like a $5 million necklace that's actually like jewels and looks good. You're like, whew, that is, think of what you could be doing other than just wearing that around you. Like, where could this money be going and doing and helping? I think a lot of times when looking at high-end fashion, you're sort of kind of calling into question, like, what are we paying here for? Like, artistic skills is just the name on the shirt.
Right.
I'm kind of over strictly flex culture, and I'm much more into fashion culture. And fashion right now is doing a lot to try and turn the trend of fast fashion, whether that's like repurposing clothes or designing clothes with old clothes and making new stuff that's kind of like, you know, edgy or cute or whatever. I think that there's something to be said for like, wow, that look is hot as hell, as opposed to that item is exclusive and I can't believe you have it.
How much is it? Mm-hmm. Because so much there is this like very, you know, I see, especially with men's fashion, quote unquote men's fashion, like streetwear, where people don't even look good anymore. They're just like, oh, I got the fucking Amiri hoodie with the Palm Angels jeans. And you're like, this shit looks fucking not good. But I get that you're but everything you wear is so heavily like, this is like these are $6,000 pants or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That it is like a way to just sort of swag by number it by just being like, I don't know, it's expensive, so it must mean it's good. And that's just how I dress, because if I do that, then people say that outfit doesn't look good. And I say, yeah, well, it costs $6,000.
Well, there is maybe I'm just so young and can't relate to you guys, but I do wonder if, so I'm getting married soon, and I wouldn't call it a flex, it's just how I live my life. I don't make as much money as Jake Paul, so I'm getting my ears pierced. And in 1 year, I'm having like a custom like framed picture of my landlord's Venmo account, who I pay each month, on one side. Half the rent, my fiance pays the other half. And then on the other side, I have like a bike lock, a key to my bicycle, to the lock up to the lock. Is that flexing? Because
what kind of bike is it? Hold on, kind of bike is it? What kind of bike
Fuji.
Is it?
It's a Fuji. Two-wheel.
Two-wheel. Not having the third wheel, which is what makes it great.
You don't have that like Mercedes racing electric bike? That would be a flex, because that's just like $9,000.
No, this is a chain. This is a chain based.
Oh my god!
Bicycle.
Just stop talking, bro.
Two brakes.
You're embarrassing
front
the show.
End, rear.
You're dishonoring the show with your lack of drippage and flex worthy items.
Okay. Yeah, it's giving 80s futurism. Like if you hang that key, like Janet Jackson hung that key from her ear, you know, and gauge the ear and you know the other ear with the landlord's Venmo in it.
I'm writing down what you're saying. Right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
What would be the biggest flex for y'all personally? That if you saw some, that doesn't have to necessarily mean that it's what's the most expensive thing, but for you, the most, like if you saw somebody wearing something, whether that's a piece of clothing from a film or an artifact they're rocking, what would you be like, oh, that's stupid, but that's right up my
Morpheus's trench coat. the like purpley alligator one.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. That shit would knock me on my ass. I'd be like, how and where?
Wow. That's a really good one. Okay.
I go dodo bird beak face mask. Just of an extinct bird.
Extinct bird.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. That does go hard. It does go hard.
It tells you who you are, who you're dealing with for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
What but you got, I like, Miles?
My God, I don't even know. What would it, if somebody, honestly, I don't even know. I'm like really trying to think like what I would get so excited about. If someone wore J Dilla's MPC as a neck piece, I would be like, whoa,
okay.
Like to a Grammys. They're like, look at this. This is Dilla's MPC. That would be cool because I'm just thinking straight artifacts, you know. This is the Shroud of Turin. Okay, you take the Shroud of Turin.
Shroud of Turin.
And you tie that up like a do-rag.
Ooh! You know they make Shroud of Turin merch, right? Like you could easily.
Yo.
There's a Shroud of Turin beach towel. I kid you not.
Whoa.
Right. Or like you would wear like King Leopold's like fucking crown, but like you'd melt it down because like he was like a wild slaver. And you would like you would recontextualize like slaver luxuries. That would be sick.
Ooh,
the explaining like, you like, have to do when you wear that.
Yeah, even
around,
fuck you. You don't even need to. Just for you to be like, you know what I did? I took their fucking ill-gotten gains and turned them into my own shit. Fuck you. You think these are artifacts? Fuck out of here. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool. I would take slaver artifacts.
I might change mine to LBJ's toilet that he would talk to people through door from and put wheels on it. And use it as like a vehicle, like to
like
drive
a Professor X chair, like a mobility chair, and wear his pants so he's got enough room for his bunghole, and his balls, or what does he say? Like, what
I think he said bunghole. Have you heard that, Joel? It's how he would speak to people in his office.
Yeah, and he was talking to his tailor how he needed better pants because his balls are too big, and it cuts up on his bunghole.
On his bunghole.
That's so much more information than I ever needed about LBJ.
I know. Look. Wait, hold on. Where is it?
10 to 15 pounds a month. All right. So leave me at least 2.5-3 inches in the back where I can let them out or take them up. And make these 1/2 inch bigger in the waist. Make the pockets at least 1 inch longer. My money and my knife and everything fall out. Wait just a minute. Hello?
He said wait just a second.
Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight. So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out there because they cut me. They're just like riding a wire fence. These are almost, these are the best that I've had anywhere in the United States. Right. But when I gain a little weight, they cut me under there. So leave me, you never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends.
LBJ!
Under my, back to my bunghole.
All right, then. Oh, he's disgusting. Okay. He's so disgusting.
People got to know about those historic moments. So,
wow.
Yeah, that would be sick too. A pair of LBJ bunghole pants.
I've never spoken to a tailor like that in my life. Like the confidence in what he knows that he wants for me. It's like just do whatever you know how to do to make this fit me. You know,
that's a man who's had many fittings.
That's somebody who, like, you know what they have. They know their body well, and they know what they're up against with clothes all the time. I'm the same way, like where I'm like, I just know, like I could look at a pair and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna need to buy a pair bigger. I'm gonna have to get that tailored. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's gonna work out because you know it's not the same for everybody. The inch, adding an inch to your pockets though, I'm like, what kind of like an inch?
What are you carrying?
He's carrying a lot of money. He said his money and his knife are falling out.
You think he's carrying like
one
of those
space?
Those big ass like Jack Nicholson, like when he was a Joker, like long barreled revolvers, like in his pants, where he can just pull just straight out the pants pocket, like the whole shit comes out. You're like, damn, what the fuck?
Oh, but he's like, that's pocket? Not a knife. This is a knife.
This is a knife. Yes, this is a knife. But yes, okay. So just for the record, bunghole pants, I think would be good. I just want to think if there's one other pop culture. I really like the Morpheus. The Morpheus jacket with LBJ bunghole pants. King Bring Leopold's big. Crown turned into a grill that says, fuck all colonizers.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say Aaliyah's crown from the vampire movie she did too. She played Kosh.
Queen of the Damned?
Yeah.
Was it Queen of the Damned? Was that the one she
Queen of the Damned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She wears a sickening crown in that. Would absolutely love to rock that. Would rock the Nike Batman boots.
Oh, right. Those Jordans that were turned into the Michael Key. Oh, wow. See? Okay, Joelle, you're really coming up with like deep cut like style artifacts. And that's what I like. I don't know, I'd be like, mm-hmm. what the? That would really cause, for me, who doesn't really, I don't know much about fashion, but I would be like, what is Joelle going to rock on the red carpet? Last week, she had Lil Pump's Roblox suit. He wore that Kanye video. But turned that into a fucking really dope hat. Yeah. The Michael Jordan. Wow. Okay. Anyway, Zeitgang, let us know. What's your coveted artifact that you would wear to actually be a showstopper and not just truly transparently naked displays of wealth, like rocking a $5 million square of paper around your neck? Blake, thanks so much for stopping by, man.
Thank you.
Where do the people find you? Where do they follow you? Where do they experience you? And what's a tweet that you like?
These people can find me at Blake Wexler on all social media, BlakeWexler.com. And then I have a podcast called Blake's Takes, for God's Sakes. Comes out every Wednesday. And stand-up, I'm in Boston at the end of the month. This month is not July. I'm in Boston at the end of the month of April. Okay. April 30th, 7:30 p.m. at the Hideout in Boston. And before my tweet, Joelle, this was so fun. Miles, this was so fun. I'm glad you're not hiccuping anymore.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart. And Joelle, I hope you never have to hiccup ever.
Wow. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's so kind.
Wow, you took that Protect Black Women sentiment to heart.
Right, he's really here.
I took the note.
You understood the assignment. You wished her no hiccups. I like that.
I took the note. My tweet is from at Chip Chantry. Chipchantry. We should all start calling miniature golf golf and call golf giant fucking golf.
Giant fucking golf.
At Chip Chantry.
What you doing now? We're going to go play some giant fucking golf with your uncle later. Oh, okay.
Yeah. More of a golf guy.
Joelle, how about you? What's a tweet that you like? Where can they find you and follow you and all that?
Yes. Okay. Well, first of all, y'all know me. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueE. Okay. I got two good tweets. So first of all, the coward Representative Jean Schmidt of Ohio just introduced HB 616. It's her version of the Don't Say Gay bill. Fuck you. Somebody, she ran away after dropping this bill on the floor and asked reporters not to harass her when they're asking questions about the bill. Again, a coward. Someone responded, why is she dressed like a mom villain from an 80s movie? She's got a nice scarf in her hair. It's a pink oversized button-up jacket and some white tight pants and a white turtleneck. It's giving evil villain, and she dressed for what she is. So that's great. Also, there's a book from a writer named Glenn Boozen. She wrote it. It's called There Are Moms Way Worse Than You. The cover is a giraffe kicking its baby in the face. It's got amazing, amazing pages. Like, if a quokkamon comes face to face with dingoes in the wild, guess what she'll do to get away? That's right. She'll toss her child. So moms, if you're not feeling like the greatest mom, you can go pick up this book and find Animal Kingdom parents so much worse than you, and maybe it will uplift you. So thanks, Glenn Boozen, for posting about your book. It's amazing.
Yeah. Let's see, man. What's a tweet that I like? Man, there's so many good ones out there in the world today. But really, there's this one from Luke Mones, M-O-N-E-S, L-U-K-E-M-O-N-E-S, tweeted, remember the day Biden won and the vibe in most city was Ewok celebration?
Great tweet.
I'm emotionally invested in Ewok culture, you know, ever since Return of the Jedi and then even those weird spinoffs that they had after the fact. There's something that hit me about that. Just Ewok celebration.
Teddy bear partying. It's great.
And meanwhile, I'm like, and they're my ghost homies waving me on, saying, it's all good. We're just going to be over here, kind of translucent for you. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Also, check out the new podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, an NBA podcast, where we talk about the NBA, just our love for the NBA. It's not about, you know, deep X's and O's analysis, or we're screaming about how much we hate certain players. No, we're just here to celebrate. So it's a nice listen. It's a good listen for the neutral. And even if you're a casual fan, because it's mostly just us having a good time, but about basketball. Let's see, where can you find the rest of us? Oh, yeah, you can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes?
Thank you.
Thank you? I'm sorry, I screwed up.
No, that was good. Thank you.
Sorry,
thank you.
I came in late.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Look, timing's not your thing, but we'll work on that. Where you can find, yes, the footnotes. One more time.
Footnotes.
Blake,
find it.
Okay, we'll workshop that one. Okay. Where you can find all the articles we talk about, as well as the song we write out on today. We're going to go out on a trek by Mother of Earth. Divine Ascension is what it's called. This is an artist called Mother of Earth, M-U-V-A. She's a Nigerian, British artist. You know, kind of like taking the mantle from artists like Erykah Badu, Sade kind of thing. Bringing it forward to a little more forward thinking, like new soul vibes with and different rhythmic textures. So this is kind of a dope song. It's just really nice and moody, but, you know, funky at the same time. So this is Divine Ascension by Mother of Earth. So check that out. What else do we do? Oh, yeah. Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your favorite shows. Until then, we'll see you later today with What's Trending. And so take care of yourself, and then we'll talk soon. All right, bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.